Good morning.
This is a subject that I've certainly talked about before, but one that I think it's worth talking about more than once. I know in my psychotherapy practice, the issue of self-confidence comes up a lot. We live in a comparison culture, and we all, sooner or later, get trapped into comparing ourselves to someone else to determine our worth, which is, objectively speaking, of course, we would all agree is a big mistake, but I think it happens all the time. The way we measure success, the way we measure who we are, is by comparison to somebody else. The other thing that I noticed in working with people in the psychotherapy context is that a lot of people who were raised, in their family of origin were not really sponsored by their parents. A lot of times they, were brought up in big families, or their parents worked, or there wasn't a lot of sponsorship, a lot of support, a lot of feedback. And so what happens is, of course, the obvious is they carry that lack of sponsorship into adulthood, and they don't really have confidence in themselves. So I'm going to just say a few words about the issue of confidence in Zen practice, but it's really not separate from who we are as psychological beings. Zen master Ango wrote, this is back in the 12th century, quote, "To those who are awake, the universe is not veiled and all its activities lie open. Whichever way an awakened one goes, they do not get stuck. With every move they make, they have confidence to act with authority." Now, hearing these words, we might ask, how do we have confidence if we have not yet awakened? If we are still struggling on the path? Admittedly, our practice is not easy. It demands that we abandon our standard operating procedures. We're asked to let go of that to which we hold most dearly. It pulls the rug out from under our most cherished beliefs. And beyond that, it's a practice that teaches us that in spite of our best efforts, there is nothing to gain and nothing to hold on to, that the whole universe is impermanent. In spite of the magnitude of the challenge, it's still, nevertheless, important to have confidence. We must have confidence in ourselves, confidence in our true nature, and confidence in the teachings. Suzuki Roshi once said, "The most important point is to accept yourself and stand on your own two feet." Now, this is very powerful and no-nonsense advice, particularly when you take into account if you were raised in a family that didn't sponsor standing on your own two feet. I was raised by a father that would constantly tell me, "You have nothing to say." So under those circumstances, it's difficult to have confidence and stand on your own two feet. So sometimes to learn to stand on our own two feet, we need support. And this is why it's important to practice with a sangha and to study with a teacher. As a sangha, we support each other's efforts to have confidence in ourselves and to be free standing. If one of us falls on our face, the others are there to help us up and encourage us to try again. No one learns to walk without falling. By supporting each other's efforts, we are helping each other to become truly ourselves. Even after awakening, we must still learn to actualize our insight. Also an imperfect process, which requires confidence. So enlightenment is not enough. We've talked about this. It's not enough. It's just the beginning. Then we have to go live it out in the world. And even then, even as enlightened beings, we can fall on our face. We can make mistakes. In some ways, I disagree with Zen Master Ango, who has such a glowing report about what it's like to live in the world as an awakened being. I think that, the initial insight is only the beginning, and then the rest of our lives is awakening over and over and over again. So we have to have confidence in that original awakening and have confidence in our ability to continue to awaken, to live in the world with others from an awakened perspective. And as I mentioned, the other important way we develop confidence is by working with a teacher. Now, generally speaking, it's the teacher's job to use skillful means to help support the student in their journey. The teacher will encourage, empathize, challenge, or give direction. If the teacher is skillful, the student will gain confidence and become more and more able to stand on their own two feet. The teacher should be encouraging independence, not dependence. And again, I would encourage you to have confidence in your sense of that, and your sense of, you know, in your gut, who is a good teacher for you. The first teacher that I was exposed to, I forgot his name, Eido Roshi. I went to Daisan, that was my first Daisan ever with Eido Roshi, and he scared the shit out of me. There was something about him that was terrifying, and I never went back. And if you know the history of Soen Roshi, that was probably a good move. So really, it's important to trust your gut instinct in terms of that kind of relationship. And, you know, it's also important to remember that a teacher is just a person, and as such has fallen on their own face, I speak for myself, my own face, more than a few times along the way. So to reel ourselves, we must develop the confidence to fall on our face and learn from our missteps. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to fall down. Just get back up on your own two feet. And I'm going to end with a saying that I've used before, but there's this old saying in Zen, knock down seven, get up eight.